for that. It's a beautiful morning. We're very glad that you're here. It's a great blessing to be here in God's presence with God's people. To our visitors again, thank you for being here. You're an encouragement to us, and I pray that we are an encouragement to you. Now, before I begin, I wanted to really highlight once again what Terry said about this evening. Right after evening service, the kids over there in the annex are going to have hot chocolate and cookies for us. So be a part of that. Be a part of that, and let them know that you're thankful for the work that they're putting into that, and just be a great time of fellowship. And also, speaking of kids and speaking about giving this morning, if anybody has any, let's say, leftover Halloween candy, because I know you still got bags of it somewhere probably, or little toys, kind of Dollar General, Dollar Tree toys, would you be willing to give that to me to put in my preacher's store? I would appreciate it. When the kids, they do, and you see the little colorful pieces of paper out there, the My Worship Notes for Kids, and if you're not aware of that, they come and they give those to me after service, and I give them a Bible buck. And then they come in my little preacher store, my office, after Bible class, and they buy stuff with that. So if you keep that in mind, I would appreciate it, and I know they would, because I'm terrible about remembering to get stuff to stock up in my little preacher store there. Now, this morning's lesson is a lesson that I was going to do last Sunday, of course. The flu bug hit the family. I appreciate Terry and Jimmy filling in last Sunday for me with not very much notice. And so here's a lesson that I intended to do last week, and I thought it was an important lesson, so I didn't want to skip it. And of course, what we've been talking about is worship. We're in the middle of a sermon series on worship. We're going to wrap it up, Lord willing, next Sunday, kind of summarizing a lot of things concerning worship. But we've been talking about worship is, and if you don't know, if you're unaware, if you forgot, worship from your Bible says it's getting that praise and that adoration from your heart to God in the manner that He prescribes. And worshiping the one who's on His throne high and lifted up. And He's the one that determines what is acceptable in that worship. It's not about me. It's not about what Sean wants. This is the one time of the week where it's all about God in that sense. I mean, it's always about God, but when we're talking about worship, it's especially not about me. It's about me coming into His presence before Him with His people, offering up praise and adoration. In other words, worship to Him in the manner that He prescribes in spirit and in truth. And that's really what we're going to focus on next week, talking about that passage there. And worship, I need to understand, is not entertainment. And I need to understand about worship that I can't worship wrong and be accepted as a true worshiper of God. And the avenues that God has prescribed for me to get that worship to Him is what you see there on the screen, preaching and singing and prayer and communion and giving. Yes, giving is part of your worship. You're giving to the object of your worship. And as we think about worship, the important topic of worship this morning, what worship is, one thing that no one's ever come up to me other than an eldership and all my years preaching, no one's ever come up to me and said, hey, Sean, would you mind doing a lesson on giving and stewardship? Right? Well, boy, we really need a lesson on giving. Would you mind working that into your preaching schedule? No one's ever done that. Right? And I understand that because I once sat where you're sitting, right? And the preacher gets up, he's going to talk about giving, and we might be tempted to say, all right, well, how much do you want now, right? But that's not spiritual in nature. But I understand, and it's a challenge. I get it. Most of us admit that giving is an area of our spiritual lives that we haven't completely turned over to God. right? And if we're honest, we recognize that about ourselves, right? And we want to be challenged by God's word. That's one of the purposes of preaching and teaching, to be challenged by what God says on whatever topic. But we need to understand that giving is part of our worship. As a matter of fact, the Bible clearly teaches us that God doesn't need anything from us. He doesn't need anything from the hands of men, right? Acts 17 and verse 25, right? And if a congregation isn't giving as it should, God's going to not cease being God, right? Now that congregation might cease to exist, but God's still going to be God, right? And for in all of this, I'd like us all to be challenged by the Word of God this morning. And not just thinking about our giving, but in the very way that we view our relationship with God. Right? And did you know that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, one out of every six verses has to deal with giving and possessions and money and our attitude toward those things. One out of six verses. What does that tell us? It tells us a lot. Right? It's been said that where your pleasure is, there your treasure is. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. And where your heart is, there your happiness is. Right? The fact of the matter is, giving is worship. You see, everything has to do with giving. Right? Giving is worship. Worship involves giving. And you know, it's part of our God-designed, God-approved, God-commanded worship. Giving and worship is more than just the giving. And that's what I'd like us to think about. It's much more spiritual in nature, right? It's commanded as part of our worshiper. The worshiper, us, we draw near to God in giving, along with the other aspects of our worship, right? We give to the object of our worship. Now, let me just take a moment here and give you an illustration. Now, if you were to go over to Israel right now, here's a satellite image. I hope you can see that okay. And if you looked at this map here, this image, most of us are aware, you know, you got the Sea of Galilee right there. And you got the River Jordan coming all the way down, and it empties into the Dead Sea. Now, I want you to think about this as an illustration. If you went over to the Sea of Galilee right now, what you would find is all around it, and it's been this way for thousands and thousands of years. You're going to see that the Sea of Galilee there, the waters are teeming with life. And all around the Sea of Galilee, you're going to find lush green vegetation and agriculture. That water there is giving life and sustaining life to that which is around it. And then if you follow the River Jordan down, same thing. You're going to find green vegetation. The water is teeming with life. A lot of agriculture. But then you get to the Dead Sea. It's dead, right? It's named. There's no life in the water. There's no life surrounding the Dead Sea. Now, what I'd like you to think about by way of an illustration is, what's the difference between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea? Now, pay attention. You see, the Sea of Galilee blesses that which is around it because it gives up a portion of what it was given. And it stays alive, and it gives, and it sustains life, not only within itself, but around it, and even from it. But the Dead Sea keeps everything that it gets. It gives up nothing of which it received, and it's dead for that. What a great illustration. Maybe that's why God designed that geography the way it is. So you and I here today could look at that and say, I get it. I understand it a little bit better, Lord. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, our scripture reading earlier. Consider this passage again here as you consider giving and worship. Read it again with a clear mind. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in Christ, which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so when you think about this passage, you think about giving. Really, it's about dying to self. It's about living for Christ. The giving of our money, our time, our energy, our focus. Right? We do it to the Lord. And that's one of the ways that we die to self. Right? We are dying to self through self-sacrifice. Because our human side, our fleshly nature, wants to keep everything that it gets. That's our selfish nature. And that's what we need to work on overcoming. It's a matter of spiritual maturity. J.W. McGarvey, the quote you see on the screen there, "Watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, they become your future destination." You see, giving, stewardship, it's part of your thoughts, your words, your actions, your habits, and your character. So therefore, it is tied together with your future eternal destination. Right? Giving is so much more than, as we sometimes often pray for the work of the church. It's so much more spiritual in nature. When we only view it in that sense, that it's for the work of the church, we might be tempted to come into the assembly and sit down and say, well, the light bill got paid, right? The heat's on. Preacher got a paycheck. Everything's good. The church doesn't need any more money, right? That approach to giving lacks spiritual vision. We need to understand that when we give, we're given to God. We're not given to the church, and that's a big difference. We give to God. You know, when we speak about giving, there's a lot of areas that we could talk about. We could talk about giving cheerfully, not giving grudgingly, there in 2 Corinthians 9. We could talk about it's more blessed to give than receive, right? We could talk about giving and liberality. We could answer that question, do Christians tithe? We talked about that 2 weeks ago, and the answer, of course, is no. That was an Old Testament command. We actually have a higher standard. Right, it's not about a certain percentage. You know, we could go back to the Old Testament here and look at parallels to giving. You know, and giving in the Old Testament, it was an actual sacrifice. It was meant to hurt a little bit. Right, under the old law, we could see all these different types of sacrificial giving and offerings, burn offering and meal or tribute offering, sin offering, guilt offering, peace offering, which included free will and thanks offerings. You know, it was these offerings that compare the most with our giving as Christians within the new covenant. We could look at all of those areas this morning to talk about our standard of giving. But in the remaining time that we have, I want us to look at an example of Christian giving here in the New Testament, to explain to us, to show us that giving is all about giving ourselves first to God, or stated differently, dying to self. Now, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and as you're turning there, I want you to do a mental exercise with me. I want you to think about a time in your life when it was the very lowest point in your life, right? You're just going through a very difficult and dark time in your life, right? We've all been there, right? Maybe you're in that dark and difficult time right now. But I want your mind to go back to that very difficult and dark time. Maybe it was health issues. Maybe it was financial issues. Maybe it was family issues. Maybe it was all of it and then some. Now, you got that time that was going on in your life. You got that in your mind right now? Now, let me ask you this. How was your relationship with God during that dark time? How was your prayer life during that dark time? How was your studying of God's Word during that difficult and dark time? How was your giving during that difficult and dark time? See, many times when we're going through those difficult times, what we tend to do, unfortunately, is separate ourselves from God in all of those areas. Because what we're doing, when we're in those dark times, we end up looking in, and that's the problem, instead of looking out and looking up. And so we strain that relationship. We become estranged from God, maybe even blaming God for those dark and difficult times. What we rarely do is grow in those areas. Now you get that time in your mind, right? All right, now I want you to have that in your mind here as we read what we're going to read. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I want you to read with me verses 1 through 7. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but as they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so we would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. Now, what's going on here? Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, of course, but what he's doing is he's using the Macedonian church as an example of what it means to give of yourself first to God. So Paul was talking about the Macedonian church, and they were going through very difficult times, deep poverty, right? A very dark time in their lives collectively, not to mention persecution. And as bad as they had it, Paul told them about the church in Judea that they had it worse. And so Paul, it seems, was just shocked. And even in their deep poverty, they gave to help the brethren over in Judea. Right? And many times in that dark time in our lives, you know, we want to draw back. We want to keep what we have for ourselves. We don't want to give ourselves first to God. But Paul here is saying that's what the church, those Christians of Macedonia did. As bad as they had it, they wanted to help the brethren over in Judea. And Paul is telling the church of Corinth, this is the mindset you need to have. This is all about giving yourself first to God. Right? And in severe trial, extreme poverty, low points of life, what do we normally do in those low and difficult times? Normally we turn away from God, blame Him for the circumstance, but not these brethren here. And he defines it there in verse 5, saying they first gave of themselves to God and then to us according to the will of God. The definition given of these people, what I want you to see this morning, who first gave themselves to God, was severe trial, extreme poverty, yet they first gave themselves to God. In other words, they had this mindset, I want to help. Paul says in verse 2, in their great ordeal, extreme poverty, in this horrible low point in their lives, Paul's saying basically, I was shocked. It was a behavior I wasn't expecting. Now, the reason why is that many people, again, shrink back as we're focusing in and we're not focusing out and up. Right? Many times we tend to focus on our own trials, our own problems, our own poverty, and we fail to understand that there's also people around us that are suffering. And listen, giving is not about how much I have. It's not about tithing. It's not about missions. It's not about, you know, helping the hurting. It's not about helping folks suffering from a hurricane or an earthquake. You know, it's not about the building. It's not about the preacher's salary. Not about programs getting done. Giving isn't about any of those things. Giving, it's about an expression of thanks to God. It's about sacrifice. It's about viewing my giving the same way that I view every other aspect of my spiritual life. And what a wonderful lesson for us. A wise man once said, there are three conversions necessary for man to be pleasing to God. The conversion of the heart, the mind, and the purse. Of these three, it may well be that we moderns find the conversion of the purse to be the most difficult. And he goes on to say, now listen closely, I like this, it's powerful. A religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. And how true that is. And as we consider these things here, a question arises. You know, can I really be thankful for what God has given me, for what he has blessed me with? Right? And then can I give back accordingly? Right? And I thank God that I've never been asked to price my salvation. Right? And you know, to somehow estimate its net worth. You know, I've never had to answer, you know, how much is heaven worth to me? But yet, at the same time, that's the question, isn't it? All right, and if my answer is anything less than 100% of everything that I have, everything that I own, every material blessing that I have, then it's a wrong answer. It's not about money. Or offering, it's not about some percentage of a paycheck. Right? It's all about giving myself first to God. Right? It's about dying to self. Right? And there in verse 1 of our text, you know, what was the grace that God gave to the Macedonians that he's trying to see the brethren in Corinth to see? The answer is, it was God's action in their lives. Now, when we read that, we read of their great trials or extreme poverty. You know, that's difficult for us to say, man, that's God extending grace to them? Well, the answer is yes. Right? God allowed them to learn from their situation, to learn from these trials. That was the grace that was extended. So that it would encourage them and strengthen their faith so that they would make it through to the end. Right? That's the benefit that they received. And none of it was about money. Right? It had everything to do with their relationship with God. Right? You see, they understood worship. They understood the meaning of worship. They understood what was expected of the worshiper. They understood the object of worship. And therefore, it wasn't difficult to give back. And they learned that they had this desire to share what little they had because they were giving themselves first to God. Right? And something else we learned in all this, of course, they didn't just sit back and do nothing. They said, we can help in some way, so we're going to help. And the conclusion here is found in verse 5. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. And if you looked at verses 8 through 15, as we begin to finish up the lesson this morning, we see a test. Paul wanted to test the sincerity of the Corinthians by using the Macedonians as an example. He was comparing, you know, their earnestness with others. All right, look at verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Right? How much did Jesus give? He gave it all. Right, again, this has never been about money. Yes, giving money is part of it, but it's about giving yourself first to God. Your focus, your energy, your time, your money, your possessions. And so much more than just a percentage. You know, the Lord never gave us an amount to give. He wants us to figure that out by faith. Right? He cares if you're giving yourself first to Him. That's the standard. It's going to be seen in the giving of our money, our time, and our energies, and so on. It's going to be seen in our giving of forgiveness, our giving of compassion, all of those things. Verse 12 here, and we'll finish up. The test of giving myself first to God, it's not seen in dollars alone. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. It says that we are to give according to what we have, not according to what you don't have. The challenge given to all of us has been to give myself first to God, to seek first God. Remember what Jesus says in Sermon on the Mount? To seek Him first. And all these other things, He says, I'll add them to you, but I want you to seek Me first above everything. That's the answer. You know, there's many things that I've had to learn throughout my life to turn over to God. Right? It began when I obeyed the gospel, turning over my sinful self to Him. And along this journey, there's things that I struggle with that I've got to work on. It's a matter of spiritual maturity to turn it over to God. All right, learning to give to God, it's very difficult. We all grow into it. And although we can give without loving, we cannot love without giving. You know, if our offering means nothing to us, then it means nothing to God. Something truly to consider there this morning. Let me tell you about something that you don't want to miss out on. And that is the salvation of Jesus Christ. This morning, if you're here and you've never been immersed into Christ, will you give yourself first to God this morning? That's where it all begins. Right? So think about this. Let me ask you a question. No matter where you're at spiritually, you know, how are you doing this morning? Where are you at? How can you give yourself first to God this morning? Obeying the gospel, or maybe you've done that and you've fallen away. Right? Maybe you've lived a life not giving yourself first to God, and through that, sin crept into your life. You're back in a lifestyle of sin. You're estranged from God. What a great blessing it would be to see you come back home this morning, to let us show you the love of God. Where are you at this morning? What do you need that we can help you with? If you have a spiritual need, don't hesitate, please. Let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.